Join us for the second annual AFA at the Arc.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers and Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Arc. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Today is Monday, and it's Monday, the 2 days after the assassination attempt on the life of former President Donald Trump. We were all glued to our devices. I say our TVs. I don't know how many people watch TV anymore. We watch all that stuff on our laptops or on our phones. But to see what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, as a lone gunman tried to take the life of Donald Trump, did take the life of one man who courageously and valiantly protected his family, lost his life as a result of that. Two other people, I believe, were critically injured. Donald Trump was shot in the ear as he turned his head just at the right time. He gave glory to God that God saved and protected his life, and it's obvious that the Lord did. And so this is definitely a wake-up call to all Americans, and especially to Christians, that we are in a battle. And we don't war with flesh and blood. The battle is with the devil and his demonic horde. And we need to stand firm and put on the full armor of God. And the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive, the Bible says, to the obedience of Christ. And so this is a call to Christians to pray and to get right. This is a battle between good and evil. And there are evil people at work trying to destroy our country. Now, to help me with this discussion is my good friend and a lover of the Lord and a lover of America, Bishop E.W. Jackson, author, pastor, speaker, husband, father, grandfather, Marine Corps veteran, Harvard-trained lawyer, the founder of STAND, Staying True to Americans' National Destiny, a nonprofit organization with a mission to bring Americans together across racial and cultural lines to preserve our Judeo-Christian heritage. Bishop, welcome to the program.
Pastor Jeff, always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we had this scheduled, Bishop, because you have a brand new podcast on American Family Radio. It premiered Wednesday, July 10th, and we wanted to promote that. But then all these events took place Saturday afternoon, and so it's just a perfect time to have you on the program to discuss the events of Saturday. So give me your hot take. What went through your mind when you found out the news?
Well, look, the very first thing, and this is obvious to every Christian. It's probably not obvious to the non-Christian. God protected Donald Trump. And I really believe that God protected Donald Trump because his hand is on him for purposes of turning this country toward him, turning us away from the wickedness, the chaos, the depravity that so many are trying to force on this country, and turning it toward God. And that's the first thing that jumped out at me. I'd said to somebody last week who approached me about, well, how can you support Donald Trump? This is a Christian event. How could you support Donald Trump? And they started to tick off, you know, he did this, he did that. And I said, look, I don't have time to get into a long discussion. I said, but I will simply say this. The hand of God is on Donald Trump for this nation, in this nation's behalf. And I said, when this happened on Saturday night, I said, you know what? Boy, talk about proof positive. I mean, 1 second, 1 millimeter. I mean, just a minute change in that whole scenario means we would have been talking about the assassination of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So God moved and moved mightily, and I think every Christian ought to be encouraged. God is moving in behalf of America, and he's using Donald Trump to do so.
Right. Well, I thought about, you know, in Judges when they were fighting Sisera and the stars in their courses fought against them and caused a flood to fill the valley and their iron chariots got stuck. You're not going to win if you go up against God. And, you know, Donald Trump is he's an enigma, Bishop, because, you know, you look at his life and you just think, good night, how could God use him? But God is using him. It's amazing, as Erwin Lutzer told me. He said, "Well, Donald Trump is King Nebuchadnezzar, and the Lord used Nebuchadnezzar, you know, in bad and good. He used him, and I think Nebuchadnezzar came to know Christ in Daniel chapter 4, or came to know the Lord in a real way. But Donald Trump seems to be cut out of that same mold, and for whatever reason, God's purposes, his mind is not our mind, he is protecting him, and he wants to use him, and I agree with you. He wants to bring revival to America. So how do you think a Christian should... As he reads the news, she reads the news and sees the things unfolding and hears from some conspiracy theorists, the longer I live, the more these conspiracy theorists, that becomes a reality, that theory becomes a reality, and we hear about this had to be an inside job. What do you make of that?
Well, look, first of all, I used to just dismiss all conspiracy theories out of hand. I no longer do that, because when you get 51 intelligence agents all conspiring to tell a lie that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian collusion, you realize we're dealing with a different era now. The evil that has gripped the minds and hearts of so many is causing things to happen that we might have never imagined before. Now, I would say I always try to reserve judgment on exactly what has happened until we hear all the facts. But I will say this. There are some curious things here. How in the world? And, you know, you're talking to an old Marine.
Right.
We were trained to hit a target at 500 yards. You couldn't graduate from Marine Corps boot camp if you couldn't do that. And that didn't mean you were a sniper quality or an expert, but you had to be able to hit a target more often than not at 500 yards. This man was 130 yards away, and the Secret Service didn't have that spot on a roof that gave him line of sight to the stage covered. I mean, there's something wrong with that picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of unanswered questions here that need to be answered. And when you hear that the head of the Secret Service seems more focused on diversity, equity, inclusion, and hiring, appointing women to the Secret Service than in making sure that their protectees are covered by the very best possible people. I mean, even members of my congregation yesterday, Pastor Jeff, were saying to me, these women around him were so small. Mm-hmm. They seemed, you know, they seemed completely discombobulated. Like they,
right.
And I'm thinking to myself, forget that part, but just size and stature matters. Right. And God made men and women differently, and pretending that a woman can do everything a man can do is as crazy as pretending that a man can do everything a woman can do. I mean, we got to get away from this stuff and get back to pure merit and competence and capability to do a job, particularly where you're talking about the life of a president or a former president. I mean, yeah, so there are a lot of unanswered questions that need to be answered.
Okay, so Bishop, this was the CNN headline after the shooting. Quote, Secret Service rushes Trump after he falls at rally, unquote. They've gotten skewered for that, as they should, because what a joke. That's a news organization. I mean, that's a propaganda machine, kind of like Baghdad Bob was for Saddam Hussein. If we can see what took place, and to write those words, just to me, you lose all credibility. I don't know why anyone would ever listen to anything they had to say after they go out on a limb there.
Well, you know, I call them the Communist News Network.
yes.
Because as far as I'm concerned, that's much more fitting than, you know, whatever they call themselves. But look, it also demonstrates. And I was talking to some folks yesterday about human beings having been made in the image of God, we can certainly simulate a kind of love and concern. But without God, we don't really understand love. And what we see with these godless folks is this lack of humanity. Because look, you and I as Christians, and let's just say this for the record, we don't want Joe Biden harmed. We wouldn't rejoice in that. We wouldn't take any joy out of seeing this man hurt or injured or killed. We just don't believe he's the right leader for our country, and we want to vote him out of office. But we have nothing but goodwill toward him and his family because, like God, we want people to be saved. We don't want them to be destroyed. But they don't think the same way. There is a certain inability to relate to Donald Trump or you or me or any of us who are espousing a Christian or Judeo-Christian worldview because they hate that view. It goes against all of their amorality and immorality. And so they hate the people who espouse it. And so, look, it's an ugly thing to have to say, but let's face it. I think probably most people on the left would have been happy if he had been killed. And in fact, right. You know that one congressman staffer tweeted that out immediately. You know, you ought to learn to shoot better. Basically saying, because the big problem with this is that you missed. Right. And of course, that person had to be fired, even though the boss, I think this is Representative Johnson from Mississippi, I think that's his name. But he's from Mississippi. But he was the one who proposed depriving Donald Trump of Secret Service protection after this bogus conviction in New York. So I said, you know, he's fired his staffer, but as far as I'm concerned, he just basically was saying, you know, Donald Trump, if he gets killed, so what? Let's remove his Secret Service protection. So they are operating on a whole different wavelength than you and me.
Well, I heard, and I'd mentioned this to you earlier, Bishop, Alex Jones, so you got to take him with a grain of salt. You know, he can be very bombastic. But he made this statement soon after. He said this was a deep state involvement. You don't get confused that it's some lone crazy guy that just happens to bring his rifle to a Trump rally, get within 150 yards of the president, shimmy up to the roof. I mean, he was allowed to do that because people were pointing out to law enforcement, hey, there's a guy up there with a gun. And they did nothing. I read somewhere that they said Secret Service can't fire on somebody until he fires first, which seems ridiculous. That sniper took him out pretty quickly. The one close to Trump there on a rooftop. So he knew where that was coming from. It seems like he knew that guy was there. But Alex Jones just said, you know, hey, we're fighting evil like our minds can't comprehend. And he said, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Biden, if there's an assassination attempt on Joe Biden because he's not getting out of the way and the globalists want him out of the way, and they'll assassinate Joe Biden, blame it on a Trump supporter, kind of like January 6th, you know, all these Trump supporters are dangerous to our democracy, all that we hear. And so, Bishop, when you think about rhetoric like that, do you think that's too far-fetched?
I don't think it's particularly helpful. We are dealing with a deep state. There's no question about it. Whether there was some profound conspiracy to make this happen or not is an open question. But I will say this. When you call Donald Trump Hitler, when you liken him to Osama bin Laden, when you say that he is a dictator or aspires to be, when you say that he is an existential threat to our democracy, you are saying, in effect, that killing Donald Trump would be a moral thing to do.
Right.
Because you would be protecting the freedom of the American people. Now, that's ridiculous. It's wicked. It's evil. It's preposterous. But that's been a consistent theme of the left. And the president himself has said similar things. Mm-hmm. And many in his party have said the same things. You know, I'm much more concerned about them creating an atmosphere in which anybody who doesn't agree with them should be killed.
Yes.
Because I think if you've got that kind of atmosphere, you don't need a conspiracy.
Yeah, great, great point. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. We're talking about what everybody's talking about is the assassination attempt on President Trump Saturday afternoon in Butler, Pennsylvania. Just shocking how the Secret Service had such a massive fail. You look at that and say that can't just be an accident or a lapse in judgment. That had to be planned. So it seems, because how does a guy get that close to the president on a rooftop with a gun and the Secret Service doesn't protect him, doesn't see? So that's the question that we're talking about today on Real Truth for Today. We are up against a break, but we'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to my good friend, Bishop E.W. Jackson. And Bishop Jackson is a pastor, author, husband, father, grandfather, Marine Corps veteran, Harvard-trained lawyer. The list goes on and on about Bishop E.W. Jackson, and one of the most powerful preachers you'll ever hear. And I'm looking forward to Bishop coming to First Baptist Texarkana in September. And we are going to have a great Sunday morning, Sunday night with the Bishop when he comes. Okay, so Bishop Jackson, we were watching Trump after he got shot. As you had mentioned, I watched a little bit of your sermon Sunday morning, and you had talked about how the Lord orchestrated him turning his head just at the proper time. He would otherwise be dead, but God, where man rules, God overrules. And as it says in the book of Judges, the stars in their courses fought against Sisera, and you can't win. If you go up against God, you will lose every time. As one man said, your arms are too short to box with God. And so he turned his head, but then he got back up with blood on his ear, blood on his face, and he looked at the crowd with his fist up in the air, and he said, "Fight, fight, fight." Which made me think of the passage in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, when Nehemiah said, "When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them, the enemies that had threatened to come in and kill them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Okay, so when we hear that from Trump and when we read that in Scripture, how is a Christian to fight? Is this a call to arms or a call to prayer?
Yeah, you know, the Word of God says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, neither does he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And I noticed the leftist media immediately jumped on that and criticized that. But you and I understand, and every Christian understands, God calls us to fight, but it's the good fight of faith. It's the fight on the high road of moral excellence. It is the fight that says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And you know, I'll tell you something. I think I alluded to this in that sermon. I don't believe God ever puts it in the heart of a person to do the evil that this young man tried to do, and in fact did, because he killed one person, wounded two, and wounded our former president. But I believe that God turns curses into blessings, that God reaches into bad situations and brings redemptive power out of them. And you know, it may be, remember Ronald Reagan when he was almost killed? And he said that that was the moment he realized that there was a calling on his life from God and that God had him here for a purpose. And that was when he just really kind of doubled down on defeating the Soviet Union, some of the things that hit that were in his heart. And I really believe this could be a moment where Donald Trump, who I believe believes in God, I can't speak to the level of the depth of his faith, but I believe this could be a moment where Donald Trump's faith really goes to a new level and his understanding of God's calling on his life really flowers and matures. And I'll tell you something, we could be getting a president that is even better, even greater than the one we had in his first term. So, I mean, as much as I hate that this has happened, I can see God turning this evil for good.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, we do fight on our knees, and we fight by standing up for truth. And Bishop, your organization staying true to America's national destiny. What are practical things that you encourage people through STAND? What are practical things you encourage Christians to do to preserve our Judeo-Christian heritage?
Well, the first one is obvious to everybody, pray. We have every Friday, we have a Stand in Prayer for America phone call from people call in from all over the country to pray for our country. I go to places and people say, I'm on the call on Fridays. I say, praise God, praying for our country. That's why I'm hopeful for America, because I know God does not disregard our prayer. So obviously praying. But then we've got to get up off our knees, of course, and we've got to fully engage. And that means, yes, voting, but it also means getting out there and being active, supporting the candidates that you believe in, contributing to their campaigns, standing up for policies in your local area and your school board, and exposing all of the wickedness that is going on in many of these school systems across our country. I mean, so we got to be fully engaged and involved. You know, Jesus said, occupy, or some translations said, do business until I come. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is very active. Jesus says, get involved. You can't be salt and light and put the salt into a container and keep the light under a basket. It's gotta get into everything. And politics, in my view, is just one of the most important things that we as Christians have to get engaged in if we're gonna save this country.
Okay, Bishop, but what do you say to the person, because I have a good friend of mine who was in politics for a while, and he's very jaded, and he will tell you that. He said, all politicians are compromisers. He said, that's just the nature of the beast. So this guy that you think is so conservative and is going to fight for morality and biblical convictions and things, he, in order to get Mike Johnson, for instance, you know, he's an outspoken believer in Jesus, but this friend of mine was telling me, he said, yeah, but he's got to compromise in order to do what he does. So what would you say to that? Because you've entered into that realm and you know what that's like. How do you succeed in politics without being a compromiser?
Well, he's got a point, okay? So I don't diminish the power of the point he makes. I always say most politicians are not leaders. Most politicians are bellwethers. They try to figure out where people are, and then they try to reflect that because they know that's what they have to do to get elected. But this is what I believe. This is why I ran, and these are the kinds of candidates I support. I believe in supporting candidates who have rock-solid convictions and are going to fight for them, even if it means they lose. But you see, if we change the culture, those kinds of candidates will win. If we continue to get involved, those kind of candidates can and will win. So I don't give up, even though, you know, I ran for president and the media, mainstream media, and even the Republican establishment completely ignored my campaign. But I didn't fold up and say, well, I'm disgusted, I'm quitting. I'm as engaged as I've ever been, because I know what I'm fighting for is not a career path for E.W. Jackson, but I'm fighting to save our country. So I just tell people, you know, you can't give up, you can't give in, you've got to stay in there and fight, because who knows at what point God may bring about a sweeping change that you never imagined possible. But if you're not in the fight, then you don't give God anything to work with.
Mm, Yeah, very good. I had Erwin Lutzer on the program some time ago, Bishop, and I was asking him, I said, which church in the seven letters to the seven churches, I said, which church do you think best represents America? And he said, the Church of Sardis. And to the Church of Sardis, the Lord says, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. And he said, God is issuing a wake-up call to the American church. Hey, we have power because we have a connection with God, and if we're not going to call upon his name, we're going to watch everything go away. And what are we handing to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren? So the time is now to remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fight.
Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. If you want to be a nation that is hellish, just let America forget God, and because that's what's going to happen to us. And Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I've often said, in the corollary, it's got to be true too. Cursed is the nation whose God is not. Right. So if you want to be hellish, you want to be cursed, yeah, walk away from God. But that's why we as Christians, and why AFR and AFA are so important, because we are reminding Christians to take a stand to make sure that America remains a godly nation. Because I really believe, Pastor Jeff, that that's the key to our success. We're not superior people, but we've been blessed by Almighty God, because so many of our forefathers and foremothers stood in faith in our behalf, and God has honored that.
Amen. Well, you know, you said something to me, you probably won't remember this, but you said something to me early on when I first met you, and I was asking you the question about those in Christian circles who say, hey, you know, our kingdom's not of this world, we're not supposed to fight for America, we're just supposed to preach the gospel and let the politics go to the politicians. And you made a simple statement, Bishop, that I love. You said, well, just like when you live in your house, you want your house to run a certain way, and you're going to conduct your family in a certain way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I live in America. Why wouldn't I want America to be a place of righteousness, of honesty, of decency? And so what do I need to do to make that happen? Unpack that a little bit more, because we do have people, and they'll come up out of the woodwork on X and other social media platforms that say, you know, pastors need to stay out of the political realm, and this is getting too political, and blah, blah, blah. We hear that all the time. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, there's not a Christian listening to us right now who wouldn't say that wherever you live, however humble you may consider it to be, are not grateful to God for the place where you live, because you know that that shelters you. You know, it keeps you warm in the winter. It you know, probably keeps you cool in the summer to some extent. And you know, that's where you eat. That's where you're safe. Well, our country is our home. And to me, it is a sin against God. And I trust all Christians think the way I think. God gave me my home. God gave me this place to live in. I'm grateful to God for it. Well, God gave America to us and us to America. This is our home. And expressing, if I said, you know what, I'm too busy serving God to care about whether my home is in a state of disrepair, I've got bigger things to do. And to me, that would be dishonoring to God, because it would be dishonoring the gift that he's given us. You know, I preach a sermon called What Will You Do With the Gift? And I talk about this desk that my father gave me now 60 years ago that I still have. So it's not the material. It's the giver that makes mm-hmm. the gift valuable. And if yes. we really believe that America is a providential nation, and that God gave us the United States of America as a place of freedom and hope and opportunity unparalleled in human history, then we have a responsibility to God to preserve this gift. So, yeah, in the same way you wouldn't allow your house to just kind of fall apart and say, I'm too busy honoring God for that.
Yeah.
Why in the world would you do that to your country?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. And we do need to stand up and fight. And we do have freedoms in America that other countries don't enjoy. And why would we let those just slip through our fingers while we're asleep at the switch? You know, it reminds me, Bishop, a little bit about the story we read when they were taking the Jews in the boxcars and going past the church, and they would just sing louder as they heard the screams from the Jews. What in the world are we doing if we're not standing up and fighting for what is right, and especially fighting for those who are in the crosshairs? Now, the group that's in the crosshairs more than any other group is the unborn, and I know you have a heart for the unborn, and we have a mutual concern about what's happening in the Republican platform regarding abortion, and so have weigh in on that issue with me, if you would.
Yeah, I have shared that with my audience and with others. In fact, I think I talked about that on my first podcast. This sort of milquetoast, non-committal statement about life and family, when it ought to be as strong as horseradish. I mean, it ought to be just jumping out at you, because here again, this is always my concern about political parties and why Christians have to be involved, because if we allow them to drift, they will drift away from the things of God and go with whatever they think is politically expedient. Mm-hmm. And look, you are right, Jeff. I really believe that the life issue, what we do about the lives of unborn babies and preserving and protecting their lives, is the measure of our civilization, is the measure of the godliness of this nation. And if we allow the shed blood of innocent children to go unchecked in this country, then as far as I'm concerned, we have descended into pagan religion and idolatry. So that to me is inviolable. One of the reasons why I'm a little bit concerned about all this talk about unity, unity, unity. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Mm-hmm. Well, so I can't agree with people who think that killing an unborn baby is something to celebrate. I'm not going to agree with you on that, and we're not going to be unified. And I'm going to sweep that under the rug and say, oh, well, you know, we've got important things unity is more important. No, it's not.
Right.
Jesus said, "Think not that I came to bring peace on earth, but a sword." So, we better be cautious about this kind of artificial unity when it comes to these essential moral issues. We have to stand, even if it means division. They need to join with us. We can't join with them.
Amen. Amen. Well, and the big concern with Donald Trump, as you would share this conviction, I believe, is he doesn't have a lot of convictions when it comes to the issue of abortion. He seems to have convictions when it comes to the border, when it comes to fiscal things with the United States, when it comes to wars that we're involved in. But when it comes to protecting the life of the unborn, he's just kind of wishy-washy. He goes back to Ronald Reagan and that kind of thing. And one of the good things to pray, I think, would be that God would help him see that abortion is murder, and he needs to defend the rights of the unborn.
Donald Trump needs a revelation. I really believe God's hand is on Donald Trump, and again, I'm hoping that this incident will be an opportunity for him to draw closer to God, because when God reveals to you that he is the author of life, and you know that in the depth of your being, you can't possibly support killing unborn babies as some kind of celebratory statement of reproductive rights. That's ridiculous.
Amen. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment for myself or Bishop Jackson, we'd love to take your call. We need to pray, and I love that about the bishop, is that he stands and leads God's people to pray and to pray for America and to pray that the Lord would be glorified in our lives, in our homes, in our communities, and in this great nation.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. He has a brand new podcast on American Family Radio, The Awakening, that began last Wednesday, July 10th. And so, Bishop, tell us how that's going to work going forward, because this is not a daily like you had it at noon. This is different.
Right. They will be able to access the podcast on AFR.net and on the app every Wednesday. It'll be posted there. I'll be recording it sometime on Tuesday so that it's fresh, and they'll be able to get it probably sometime Wednesday, usually probably late Wednesday morning or so. And it'll be about 45 minutes primarily of commentary from me. We may come to a point where we're still having guests, but right now I'm just commenting on the issues of the day and giving people a sense of what I think is going on. And of course, like you, bringing a biblical and prophetic approach to the issues of the day rather than the secular political approach that they will hear in the mainstream media.
Amen. Well, this is a great piece of news for American Family Association, American Family Radio. We love to hear from Bishop E.W. Jackson because he keeps his finger on the pulse. Like the Sons of Issachar, he knows what's going on and what America should do, what we should do as believers in the Lord Jesus, and how we do stand up and fight. And we fight on our knees. We fight in prayer. We fight by standing up for the truth. Well, we are going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840, and lots of calls coming in, Bishop. And so we have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to the program today.
Morning, Pastor Jeff. Bishop
Morning.
Jackson. Appreciate
Hi, Scott.
Both of you and the tremendous provocative ministries that y'all have in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two things. There's no accident to what happens. The veil is being lifted for anybody that's really paying attention and who listens to the big picture through all the programs of AFR and others that are God-anointed, God-appointed. Tony Perkins called. I mean, I can't believe that the RNC would appoint a senator, a member of the deliberating body of the U.S. government to head up a platform committee. That is ludicrous to me. But the veil is continuing to be lifted. We talk about how we don't like to be called rhinos. But he specifically called out Marsha Blackburn, as being the problem with the platform. And I don't think that goes very lightly. If she wants a legacy of compromising power brokering, that's what she's got. And she needs to be mindful of who she represents and what she represents. And she talks out of one side of her mouth. Every time she gets on a program, I can see right through her superficiality. I can see there may be able to put five senators who really have guts, who really have courage. I might be able to put five on one hand, maybe. But all the rest of them, you can see they all have agendas. And they're all agendas that are driven way beyond what you and I expect from them and what principles are that will get us, that will keep us where we need to be as a nation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Very good. Well, Bishop, that leads back into the all politicians are compromisers.
Yeah, well, you know, I saw her hand in that. And of course, that's very disappointing because, again, we need politicians to be leaders, taking the country where we need to go, as opposed to simply reflecting where they think people are. But look, it's not surprising, is it? Because it is still true that most people in politics, that's what they do. But thank God that there are some who really seem to want to lead. And we've got, and by the way, we've got to support those people, encourage those people. And we've got a whole politicians accountable. One of the things I love about what Scott said is it's a reminder to me, we don't work for them. They right. work for us. Mm-hmm. And we need to hold them accountable no matter who they are, from Donald Trump all the way down, to remind them our Constitution does not begin with we the politicians, but we the people.
Amen. Good word. Good word. Thank you, Scott. Thank you for calling in. It's a good word. We have Ron on the line from Alabama. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jeff, and Bishop, it's sure good to hear from you again.
Thank
I sure
you,
missed when you was on the radio. But what I was wanting to get y'all's response to is the way I see it, what we need is born-again politicians. Mm-hmm. And just say you have, like, the previous caller was talking about maybe five that, you know. But if you only have five and you have 200, 300, 400 others that are not born again, then therefore what we need is more born-again politicians and decision-makers is what I'm saying. And how would y'all go about addressing we need more born-again people so we can be more than the worldly people? Yeah, do y'all get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, here's the good news about that. I think it was Jonathan that said, you know, does the Lord deliver by many or by few? And God used Jonathan to bring about a great victory, Jonathan and his shield bearer. So, Bishop, God doesn't require a majority. He just requires faithfulness in the ones that he has.
Yeah, and look, let's not kid ourselves here. We are in a situation where we need a move of God because this cultural rot has metastasized. It's in everything. It's not just in our politics. It's in our schools, our universities. It's in our, my goodness, it's in our corporate world. It's certainly in the entertainment world. I mean, there was a time when many entertainers, many actors were patriots, volunteered to go fight in World War II. So things have changed rather remarkably. So we definitely need a move of God. But you're right. I mean, the Word of God says, I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 1, unless the Lord had left to us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom. We would have become like Gomorrah. So it, you're right. It does not take the majority when God decides to move. It just takes a remnant of the faithful. And we just have to keep fighting and believing God to just do a sweeping awakening and revival in this nation that would turn the hearts of people and heal all of our institutions.
Amen. Thank you for calling in, Ron. I appreciate that. We have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Hi, brothers.
Hi.
I'm calling to, just calling to ask you about the, every time I hear this situation about the platform, does anyone ever consider of going to speak to Donald Trump about the platform? Because you know, everyone has stated that the platform has changed. Someone needs to go and speak to about the platform about abortion. So has anyone considered doing that at all? Or does he know about the platform has changed?
Well, yeah, he knows about it. I think it's changed because of him. Bishop, what's your take on that?
Yeah, you can't. You cannot create a platform that the nominee doesn't agree with. That just doesn't happen because the nominee and his people, and by the way, I mean, he's got some people around him, some of whom I know about, who just, they're not of us. And they're the types who would readily go along with this because, again, they are political animals who see only one thing. How do we get him reelected, which is, of course, a noble cause, but not at the compromise of our core values. So, yeah, we've got to continue to pray because I don't know that there's any way. I mean, I know people who apparently know him well and are speaking into his life. And if they're not impacting his thoughts about this, that means that there's a wall around him that's trying to shield him from the very best spiritual counsel and advice. So we just really need to pray that that comes down and that he becomes a person who says, for Christ I live, for Christ I die. I'm here to serve the Lord, and I'm going to do things his way according to the law and our Constitution. I'm going to do things God's way. I don't think we have that Donald Trump yet. We thank God for the one we've got. But I really believe that God is going to do a great work in his life, and we're going to see a renewed commitment to doing God's will in the second term.
Yeah, and the big thing with Donald Trump is he's got to humble himself before the mighty hand of God. You can't be Pharaoh. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And he's kind of he's an enigma, Bishop, in a way, because he has sensitivity to the Lord in one side, and then the other side, it's just all this hubris and I'm so great and that kind of thing. But God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And as Nebuchadnezzar learned, God is able to humble those who walk in pride. And that's not a bad thing. overall, that's a good thing, because when you're humble, then the Lord can work in your heart and life. So,
well, if what just happened doesn't humble him, I don't know what could. If he doesn't realize that his life was preserved by a hair's breadth, that he could not control, only God could, and that it's time to serve the Lord, I don't know what will, but we'll see how this continues to sort of work in his heart and work in his mind over the coming weeks and months, and if he's reelected, what it does for his policies and his approaches to things. And you're right, his attitude that it's not about me. It's about serving God and serving the people of the United States of America.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for calling in, Frank. We have Lorraine on the line from Mississippi. Lorraine, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Blessed, thank you.
It's good to hear your voice, Bishop Jackson.
Thank you.
What I was calling about, I was reading and listening to something J. Edwin Orr said several years ago about revival and what state our country was in after the Revolutionary War and just before the 1800s. It was just a terrific lawlessness, immorality, crime. The two presidents, Adams and Jefferson, were fighting over who really won the election. And there was a Scotch-Irish minister in James McGrady in Kentucky who started concerts of prayer. And as they began to pray, and at that time where he was at, it was known as Rogue's Harbor. Anybody that committed a crime could get over the mountains. They weren't going to get caught. They weren't going to be brought to justice. And he started the concerts of prayer. And the Lord worked. And one of the things that Dr. Orr pointed out was that there's never any revival without prayer. Has to be focused, consistent prayer. Mm-hmm. And so that's just what I wanted to bring out. You said something earlier in the broadcast about Nehemiah. And, you know, the Lord says fight, you know, well, the way you fight is, you know, on your knees if you can get on them, but at least from the position of prayer.
Right. Yeah. As I get older, getting on my knees is harder and harder to do. So, well, Bishop, that's what you've been doing for a long time with the Friday prayer time. It's Friday at noon, right? Do you have the prayer time?
Absolutely. Every Friday, they can go to our website, standamerica.us, and get the telephone number to call in. We call it Stand in Prayer for America, and it happens every Friday at noon Eastern Time. And let me say this. We've got two strains in revivals that have happened both in the Bible and in our country. And I think both of these are important. Prayer is critically important, but so is proclamation of truth. Josiah's revival was just pure proclamation. They got a hold of the word and said, man, we have not been obeying God's word. Let's put the word out there. He sent people around all over the countryside to read the word of God so the people would hear the word of God. So we've got to have prayer and God's word that is heard throughout the land.
Amen. Great word. Thank you, Lorraine. Thanks for calling in. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thanks for having me on. It's great to hear Mr. Jackson back. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry it didn't work out for you with the election, but we have this other candidate that's in front of us right now. And loving him is like loving a porcupine. I get it. You know? I do see him as a better manager. I see him as a person that's more aggressive for preventing the destruction of our country. I wonder what the origins are of this. You know, I just wonder, you know, where is this going to lead us?
Mm-hmm. All right, Ron, we're out of time, but Bishop, real quick, what would you say to that? Where is this going to lead us?
we have to trust the hand of God to have brought us to this point and to take us where he wants us to go, and to use Donald Trump, at least in part, to get that done.
Amen. Well, sorry, Jay and Marty, we didn't get to you, but thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. And remember, the Bishop has a brand new podcast. You can check it out every Wednesday on AFR.net. It's called The Awakening, just like the name of his show was. And you can hear fresh updates on issues of the day. So, Bishop, thanks so much for being my guest. You're a dear brother in the Lord. God bless you, brother. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, and share, and pray that God would bring revival.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.